Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first to arrive, so we're waiting for another person.
Okay, I'm going to mute my phone.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mark.
So
are we the only ones on?
No, we have another person on. Ruby's on mute, so we'll start. We are in, this is a deeper Zohar class on the Parasha of Noach. We're in section 29 of the Sulam commentary, and we're going to start with Pasuk 221. I will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabrichu ishkinte bit hilu urchimu ud hilu ud hilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud hei bavav hei, b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kananeh aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kananeh. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Noach kad hawa b'teva dachil hawa dila yidkar le'yakucha b'richu li'almin v'kewan de'itaved dina v'itavaru chayava alma kedem makiti vayizkor elokim et noach. Rabbi Yehuda said that when Noah was in the ark, he was afraid that the Holy One, blessed be he, might never remember him. But after judgment was executed and the evil people were removed, what does the scripture say? It says, and Elohim remembered Noah. And the reason for this shall be explained presently by Rabbi Elazar. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it was my thought that God had put him in the ark. So why would you think that God might forget him?
The question is why would Noah be afraid that he was going to be forgotten?
Yes.
And the answer is righteous people never assume they're righteous. Righteous people never think they have the merit that something will happen. And when they pray, they don't pray and utilize their own merit. They pray and ask for Hashem's mercy, not because they are due this beneficence.
Oh, yes.
Being remembered by Hashem, Noah, being righteous, did not assume that he had the merit that would happen. So he was fearful of being forgotten.
Oh, okay.
It's an excellent question. Yes, Ruby.
when they have the statement in there, and Elohim remembered Noah, is that any connection with, like, the end of an exile?
It's another way of interpreting the verse, because Noah represents concealed wisdom. And so the statement, Hashem remembers Zachor, Noah, it definitely can be interpreted the way you've said, that it's a end of days prediction that the concealed wisdom, which is the name Noah, would be remembered or will be remembered or will be essentially revealed in the end of days. And yes, you are correct.
You know, okay, this relates to another question too. And it was a couple of weeks back, you had asked a question about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it was my understanding, I could be wrong, that the Old Testament relates to what the information that's been already revealed, and the New Testament is the information that is concealed. Is that your thoughts on that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't remember exactly what I said. I do remember I said something about asking that, what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? And what I said, as I remember, was everything that is revealed in the New Testament is actually revealed in the Old Testament. About the only section of the New Testament that isn't revealed are certain sections of Revelation. But essentially, all of the material that any person needs, the concealed wisdom and the revealed wisdom, is all available in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Does anybody have any other questions? I just would like to point out that had I made my commentary, if I was reading this verse for our regular Zohar class, my answer to that, my comment to this verse would be that this verse is clear as written. And yet the questions that both of you asked were very correct, very valid, and you see how much deeper we go into in this class, because the questions are there. They're in your mind, but until you ask them, there's no way to reveal it. Verse 222. Rabbi Elazar Amar Tachate Bishata The Dina Sharia, the Alma Lalibae, Leia Le Nash, the Atar Shemea, Leila Dehahi, Atar Shemea, Yid Kirun Chovo, Vaye, Ye Tun. Rabbi Elazar says, come and see. When judgment prevails in the world, it is inappropriate for a person's name to be mentioned above. Because if his name is mentioned, his sins will be remembered, and they will come to judge him. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I have another thought. remember when they were talking about Maquettes, when Joseph was in the imprisoned, and they speak about a time when there was a remembrance, and then there was a time when the baker was there that he was he had forgotten. Is this the same? Is this the same principle that they're speaking about here? Because Joseph had, it's my understanding that Joseph had spoke lashon hara against his brothers, and he was kind of arrogant. And
Joseph was in the prison, and he was to serve 10 years in one movie. Not more than one movie, in many movies. Joseph was in the prison because in order to rise, elevate yourself spiritually, one has to lose everything spiritually. In the physical world, because it's an illusion, you do not have to lose everything, but most people do. One, because they don't study Kabbalah, they're not aware of this law. So Joseph is in this prison. He's been sentenced. He doesn't know it's for 10 years, but the spiritual world all knows it's for 10 years. And then they send the dreams to the baker and the wine steward. And Joseph interprets the dreams correctly. But he doesn't say he's interpreting the dreams. He says Hashem interprets the dreams. So he is doing everything right. The baker dies, as he predicted, as he prophesied. And the wine steward is set free, as he prophesied. But as the wine steward leaves the prison, Joseph says to him, "Remember me." Those words, those two words, and in Hebrew there are two words, was his demonstrating a lack of certainty with respect to his trusting Hashem. He was depending on a human agency, not on Hashem. And at his spiritual level, that required two more years of cleansing till he realized why those years were extended. And he could do teshuvah for having said, "Remember me." And then we know the story of Joseph. He's elevated overnight to be second in command. Now here we're talking about essentially the same idea, except Noah never said the words. He felt the fear, he felt the concern, but he never allowed that to manifest in words or in deeds. And elsewhere we learn that there's only one level of thought that is potentially, if you have that thought and you let it loose, you don't say, "No, I'm not going to think that." That area of thought will cause chaos to come into your life. But that's the only area where thought impacts our lives. Otherwise, the only thing that impacts our lives are actions, and words are essentially a subset of actions. So if you have a thought that is a negative thought and you don't do anything with it, You don't say it. You don't verbalize it. You don't act upon it. It's as if the thought is nothing. There's no consequence in your life for that.
Okay.
So
is this
that
the
is
same?
The real difference between, they're both talking about the same concept of remembering me. But Joseph manifested it with words. Noah did not.
Okay. But when they say here, remembrance, and I can remember going back to Miketz again saying when Joseph was, when he was, when Pharaoh called him to interpret the dreams, it made a comment about the end of the left. So does this remembrance at end of the left means that that's a time of redemption? The end of remembrance, the end of the left.
Judgment. If you read earlier in this section, the verse, I think it's the first verse in the section, it explains that to remembrance is judgment, because it's
yep.
an end of the left. So
okay,
it doesn't
okay,
mean it's redemption. It's judgment.
It does not mean. Okay.
I suggest you read the first verse, and I also suggest you listen to the deeper Noah class for that verse.
Okay.
The recording that's on the webpage already.
Okay. But the end of remembrance is the end of the judgment.
No. The words remember or remembrance, that word is describing judgment. Judgment
okay.
is Givurah. When Hashem is involved with mercy, remembrance isn't appropriate. When you go to say something and it's on the tip of your tongue, but you can't remember it. You can't remember the person's name or the event, you know, the time of the event, some little detail. And we've all experienced that. If you keep striving to remember it, you are bringing judgment into your life. But if you let it go, if you essentially say, if it's important, it'll come to me when it's time, and you don't strive to remember it, it will pop into your head. Essentially saying that you pass the test where you're not bringing judgment into this aspect of your life. In every month, in every year, in every day, in every hour, there are sequences where Hashem is in the frame of judgment and sequences where he is in the frame of mercy. And if you know those times, you can, as Bilam tried to do, curse people. Why did his curses work? Because he knew when Hashem was sitting on the frame of judgment. Or you can bless people. Why do your blessings work sometimes and not other times? Because you're saying them at the time when Hashem is not in that frame. If you're trying to bless someone and he's in a frame of judgment, what you're doing is bringing judgment on the person.
Okay.
Because in order to receive that blessing, that person has to be looked at. He has to be evaluated by a Bet Din, and that's bringing judgment. That's what this verse has just said to us.
Okay.
Is it making sense to you now?
Yes, and I'll go back and review that other information as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not sure we can complete the discussion on verse 223, but let's try. We have a little bit of time. Menalan Mishunamit Budehahu Yoma Yom Tov Derosh Hashanah Hawa Vati Chabuti Tain Alma Uftain Amar La Elisha Vyesh Lidaber Lach El Hamelech Daku Chabrihu Dikdain Ikre Melech Melech HaKadosh Melech HaMashpat Mishpat B'tomar B'toch Ami Anochi Yoshevet La Baena Deid Kirin Levi Ashkechun B'ela B'toch Ami Man De'ayel Reishaya Ben Ama La Yashkechun Aleya Lemeidan Leya Lishtagine Kach Amra B'toch Ami. From where do we know this? From the story of the woman of Shunam. On the holy day of Rosh Hashanah, the Holy One, blessed be He, was judging the world. Elisha, the prophet, asked the woman, "Would you be spoken for to the king? Would you be spoken for to the king?" The king here refers to the Holy One, blessed be He, who is called on that day the king, the holy king, and the king of justice. And she answered, "I dwell among my own people," meaning I do not want to be scrutinized on my own. Therefore, I dwell among my own people. He who puts himself in the middle of his own people does not draw attention to himself and is not judged for his wrongdoings. She thus said, among my own people. Questions, comments, thoughts? Marco, you haven't been heard from. Do you have any questions on this one? I don't mean to put you on the spot, so if it's uncomfortable, it's fine.
No, I'm fine. I guess I need a definition of what my people mean.
In the case of the woman from Shunam, her people were the people living in Israel who were of the called the children of Israel.
Okay. So,
but our case, who is your people is defined by how you define it. Are you talking about your family? Are you talking about the children of Israel, the Jewish people? Are you talking about the children of Israel, including all the people who have reincarnated with Jewish souls into other bodies, other nations, other locations? You have to define your people in your consciousness when you make the statement, "I dwell among my people." What you're really saying is, don't judge me on my own. Judge me as part of the community that I'm with.
Right. So the whole community would be judged on their actions on a particular matter. As a unit, just as Israel is judged as a nation. Not on an individual basis.
Everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Every human being, all the nations. The nation is judged and the individuals are judged. But here you're being told that you have the opportunity to not be judged individually. By making this statement that I dwell among my people, and then during the course of that year or the previous year, demonstrate that consciousness, one aspect of this pasuk is telling you, you don't have to be judged on your own actions. You're going to be judged with the nation. Whatever the nation receives, you're going to receive. Go ahead.
That would be something to really think about, you know, to be judged on your own or with the nation. Because the nation may not be in tune with what your spiritual, that you're elevating your soul, yourself, spiritually, and the nation is not. So that would be
exactly the question. That's exactly the question I was going to raise. Do you want to be judged by your own actions, or do you want to be judged with the nation? And the question is the nation, is your community in sync with who you are and where you are going and what you are doing?
Right. That would take some thought behind that statement.
Yes, it does.
Because you do have to look at your nation.
In her case, she was very clear. She was part of the community. She was part of the children of Israel. And that is the way she wanted to be thought of and judged.
Right.
She did not want any special blessing. Whatever she was to receive because of her actions of taking care of Elisha, she wanted it to go to the community.
Right. Because that's what you're trying to do, is to plan.
We're trying to arrive at a consciousness of constant sharing. Never receive for yourself, but only receive in order to share.
Right.
That's what we are all striving to do. It's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. So
as I said, we wouldn't complete this pasuk, so we will pick it up here tomorrow.
What time is the Megillah read?
The Megillah is read tomorrow night. It will be read at 8:30 West Coast time. 11:30 your time, Paula.
Okay.
There'll be a question and answer class at 7, and then the Megillah at 8:30.
Okay.
Shalom to all.
All right. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.